My name's Jono. I'm one of the student ministers here at St. James. It's an absolute pleasure to be back with you tonight. And it's a great pleasure to be able to bring you this passage in Thessalonians. So how about I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us the gospel of peace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to earth. You lived as one of us. You showed us your Father, and you died in our place. We thank you for rising again to give us hope. We pray that as we open your word now, you would speak to us and help us to be changed to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I became a dad. Charlotte, my daughter, thanks guys, was born 4 weeks ago. And yes, it didn't take her long to make it into a sermon. What are you going to do? It's been incredible to see how quickly she's growing and how she's learning about us and the world. But when the time came for me to go back to college and leave Charlotte and Karina at home, I found it really difficult. I found I was constantly kind of thinking about them and wanting to be back and home with them. And during the week I was reflecting, and if that was my experience of just leaving them for like 3 hours, 4 hours, I can only imagine the pain and the hurt that parents feel when they lose their children. For whatever reason, for, you know, sickness or death or having them taken from them. You know, that feeling of emptiness, loss and pain must be so intense it would be beyond words. But that's how Paul describes his separation from the Thessalonian Christians in the start of our passage. Have a look there. Keep your Bibles open. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 17. He says, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, or orphaned from you, for such a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavoured the more eagerly to be with you and to greet you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us." Well, the word for torn away or for orphaned, as you have in your translations there, that Paul uses, describes the pain that a parent feels being torn or ripped away from their children, or a child being ripped away from their parents. And this is the depth of the anguish that Paul feels at not being able to come back to this church. Well, the question kind of begs, what leads Paul to have this kind of depth and overflow of emotion for the Thessalonians? Well, the answer is he's an overflowing, abundant love for them. It's a love that pushes him to pray for them, a love that leads him to sacrifice his comfort for them, and a love that's driven by the gospel of salvation in Jesus. It's this abundant love that moves Paul to such an anguish at being separated from them. And it's also a love that he urges them to have towards others. When our series in 1 Thessalonians, this is our third week, the first week we heard that the end goal of Christian fellowship is not just community for its own sake, but to actually to be glorifying to God. And last week we heard what it meant to be glorifying to God. Well, this week we're going to see that faith in Jesus drives us to abundant love. Faith in Jesus drives us to abundant love. Well, the church in Thessalonica was started by Paul and Silas when they preached the gospel over 3 or 4 weeks at the local synagogue. You can find this in Acts 17. A number of the Jews and heaps of Jewish converts actually committed their lives to Jesus. And angry at what Paul and Silas were teaching, the Jews formed a mob and they started a riot in the city, intent on dragging Paul and Silas out to be torn apart by the looters. Well, they escaped the mob, but they had to move on in the night, in secret. And the authorities then put a bounty on their heads that the church was liable to pay if they were ever to come back, forever establishing a barrier between Paul and returning to this church. Paul has no idea what's happened to them. There's no Facebook or social media back then. All he knows is that he spent too little time there. He had to leave quickly and prematurely, and they face intense persecution. So before he urges them to be a church that loves abundantly, he needs to investigate the state of their faith. And he needs to do this because faith is the foundation of abundant love. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith so that no one would be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for them. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Well, Paul knows the danger of persecution in the new Christians, and his anguish is that the Thessalonians would have abandoned their faith in the gospel of Jesus, that Satan would have squeezed them so hard that they would be tempted to give it all up. And Paul is worried because their faith in Jesus is the foundation of their whole Christian identity. Without faith in Jesus, they have nothing. And that's because faith is the foundation for all of Christian life. Without it, believers have no hope. We have no certainty of salvation. We have no realization of our need for a Savior. We have no protection against persecution. Without faith, our actions are empty and selfish, and we have no basis to persevere as believers. Just like a sailing ship needs the wind or a car needs wheels, so a Christian needs to have faith to live as a believer. The reason faith is the bedrock of Christian living is because faith brings salvation through the gospel. That incredible message of forgiveness where we are saved by Jesus on the cross. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 verse 6, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, everyone who has faith. It's through faith that we access the salvation God offers us. It's through faith that we recognize that we're sinners and we can't help ourselves and that we desperately need a savior. It's through faith that we trust Jesus took our judgment on the cross and that he died the death we deserve to die. It's by faith that we are forgiven. Through faith, we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus and have true freedom from sin. Putting your faith in Jesus means recognizing your helplessness before God and your acceptance that he has done everything necessary for us to be saved. So if you're sitting here tonight and you haven't put your faith in Jesus, I want to implore you to see that without faith, you're in real spiritual danger. It doesn't matter how good that you think you are or how relevant you think God is to your life. Without faith in Jesus, you're still answerable to God for your rejection of him. But the great news is that no matter who you are or what you've done, God offers this forgiveness in Jesus to you, and all you need to do to access it is to have faith in him, to trust him. Well, faith in Jesus is the foundation for all of Christian living. So when Paul resolves to send Timothy to Thessalonica to strengthen and encourage them in their faith, chapter 3, verse 2, he's making sure that their spiritual foundations are strong before he starts to encourage them to build their Christian lives. If their faith is firm, then they'll be able to withstand the persecution coming their way and to hold on to the hope for future glory because they trust in God. So before we do anything, we need to make sure our faith in Jesus is firm. It's our faith in the true and living God that will enable us to persevere through the hard times in life and rejoice in the blessing of the good times. Faith in Jesus is so important to Paul that when he's unsure of the state of the Thessalonians' faith, for him, it's a matter of life and death. Without faith in Jesus, they're still dead in their sin. It's like a spiritual earthquake has gone through the church and Paul doesn't know whether they're alive or dead. So he sends in a rescue team to look through the rubble and miraculously, despite the persecution, Timothy finds them alive. Have a look at verse 6. Paul says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and it's brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and our affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you're standing fast in the Lord." Just like the joy felt as a survivor is pulled from the rubble of an earthquake, Paul is overjoyed to hear that they are still clinging to life in Jesus by their faith. And now bound by the life found in Jesus as true family, Paul and the Thessalonians are together saved and heading for eternal glory. And Paul is speechless in his thanks to God for them. And that brings him comfort. So in passing, I just want to quickly point out, it's really important to note the role that your faith has in bringing joy and comfort to those who teach us the Bible. It keeps them going in tough times and brings joy to see firm faith. And this joy spills out into our church community and is used so powerfully by God to encourage others. Our faith in Jesus encourages and comforts those around us, but it also drives us to abundant love. Having confirmed their faith, Paul urges them to be a community that glorifies God by having abundant love. Have a look at verse 12. Paul says, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." The foundation of faith in Jesus drives us to abundant love. But this isn't just good feelings and emotions towards others. This love's origin is in Jesus, because he is the one who enables it to be possible to love people in this way. It's a self-sacrificial, overflowing, action-based commitment to want and to do the best for others, no matter how they treat us. It's a love that extends to people we don't like. It's a love that extends to even to people who are our enemies. It's a love that reflects Jesus' love for us. Well, what does it look like, this abundant love? Well, this passage is absolutely saturated with Paul's abundant love for the Thessalonians. And it's this example that he encourages them to follow as he follows Christ. So I'm just going to pull out two. Firstly, we see that abundant love is self-sacrificial. It's self-sacrificial. Paul was so concerned for the Thessalonians that he sent Timothy to see them, even though it would mean he'd be left alone in a foreign, unfamiliar, pagan city with no support. He sacrifices his own comfort and support in his love for them. And so our love of others needs to be sacrificial. We need to commit to giving all of ourselves to the love of others, just as Jesus did for us. But it has to be a conscious choice that we make. And it has to be made depending on God in prayer, because it's so counterintuitive for us to love others more than ourselves. That's the first thing. Second thing is, abundant love is giving the gospel. It's giving the gospel. The greatest expression for love for somebody is to share the gospel for them. It's the message of reconciliation and peace with the God of the universe. It's the truth that we desperately need the forgiveness won for us at the cross by Jesus. So to offer that message, that gospel to someone, shows the depth of your love for somebody. Our faith in Jesus drives us to share the gospel. I think we sometimes struggle with sharing the gospel of Jesus because we've lost sight of this incredible, life-changing power that the gospel has. Last week I was flicking through TV stations and I was watching the block auctions. This is when the houses they spent weeks kind of building finally get sold off, and they find out how much money that they've won on the show. And this year the amounts were kind of astronomical, breaking all the records, biggest year ever, yada yada. And one couple, Jess and Aiden, who won $500,000. At this point in the show, they've just finished the auction. They've just found out how much money they've won. They're speechless. They're crying, sitting on the couch in shock. And through their tears of joy, Jess says, "Scotty, you've changed our lives. You've changed our lives." Now, the amount of money that they won is huge, and it is life-changing. Yet when they've spent the money, it'll be gone. And far worse, when they're faced with death, that money cannot help them. The gospel of Jesus has the power of life and death. It's far more important and more life-changing than winning $500,000 on the block. It's far more important than anything in this life. So let's grasp the power of the gospel, that life-changing, incredible power, and use it as motivation to have abundant love by sharing it with people. The great news is that abundant love leads to joy and glory. We don't follow a stingy God who commands more from us than we can bear. Firstly, he shows abundant love to us at the cost of his own son, but he also rewards us for our commitment to follow him. Now, this reward is in seeing the life God brings to people blossom in them because he's used you. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 9, at the beginning of our passage, he says, "For what is our joy or our hope or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy." The Thessalonians are trophies of the salvation Jesus brings at the cross. They are alive because God has saved them through Jesus. And yet he's used Paul to speak the gospel of life to them. And through his words, the gospel has come and God has used the gospel to save them. Now, they are saved by God and God alone, but Paul has had a role in this salvation. And that brings him incredible joy and glory. Again, in chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God?" Paul's abundant love, seen in his self-sacrifice and gospel ministry, brings him incredible joy. And as we mirror God's love for us by caring and loving for each other, we will also know this joy and glory as we start to see God working through us. But unfortunately, we don't always show this abundant love to people. We fail to depend on God in prayer, and our sinful nature gets in the way of us loving self-sacrificially and with the gospel. But the great news is that Jesus died on the cross, and so those times that we fail are forgiven. And it is our faith in that glorious truth, that Jesus died to bring forgiveness. It's our faith in that that drives us to love others abundantly. Our faith in Jesus drives us to abundant love. So let's ask God to establish us firm in our faith so we can love others abundantly. Let's pray. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your gospel of peace. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying in our place to take the punishment we deserve. Lord, help us to have firm faith in your gospel so we can love abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.